coach, trainers, and Pokemen. You are listening to another episode of Pokemen's Health, Pokemon Meets Men's Mental Health. And I'm your host, Roy Flash Gordon. I'm about to drop into another one this week. But before I do, I want to let you know about my 12-day challenge that I got going on at Twitch starting on December 13th, inspired by the 12 days of Christmas. I'm going to do 12 days on Twitch, starting with 1 hour of streaming on day one, building all the way up to 12 hours of streaming by the time I reach day 12, adding an hour every single day, doing this for a charity as well called Black Men Heal. Black Men Heal helps black men find mental health resources to help them along on their healing journey, as well as puts a bunch of content out there around removing the stigma around mental health, and one that I think exists for everyone, all men, but black men especially in this case. So super excited for that. That is December 13th, so mark your calendars for it. And with that, we'll hop into our interview with my guest, Ivan, who is one of the first friends I met in VGC at the Milwaukee tournament just over the summer. He's been someone really instrumental in helping me grow as a VGC player, so really grateful for him. Going to talk to him about a little bit about his family life, him getting into Pokemon, and him helping people out in all areas of his life. So without further ado, here's my friend, Ivan.
And Pokemen's Health, we are here with our guest this week, Ivan Gerard. Ivan, how you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Hanging out. So you know the deal. We're going to talk a little bit about how you got into Pokemon, a little bit about your mental health journey, and maybe we even play a battle at the end of things. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right, man. So talk to the people. Let them know how old you are, what do you do, and where are you from?
So I am 20 years old. Currently for a job in de-icing airplanes, but mainly a college student first. And I'm from the Belleville area in awesome. Michigan.
Belleville, Michigan. Good stuff, brother. And how did you get into Pokemon, and what ways do you currently engage with the community?
So, funny thing about that, my journey with Pokemon started out when I was like 3 years old, where some random kid gave me a original Team Rocket Rattata card. And then it kind of, you know, bloomed from that. But right now, I would say I interact almost in every single way. I like competing. I like team building. Even like just casual chats about, you know, I think Swampert's better than Sceptile off his design and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So really every corner I'm trying to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. And just one more time, you said Swampert's better than Sceptile based on their design?
Yes.
Man,
I'll stand by that.
Okay, that's fine. Gen 3 is a tough one, dude. I think like design wise, that there's some of the hardest designs of all the starters.
Oh yeah, by far hardest, like, choice out of the three.
Yeah, hardest choices of, like, it's the like one of the hardest choices of the starters. Like, oh man, I don't know which one I like the best because they're all so dope. I think that's one of the generations where it's like, that's a tough one. That's what's up. And so you play VGC, I know, of course, because you are basically my VGC mentor, one of the few. You help me with Unite as well. Those are the main two games that you play when you're playing, yeah?
Yes.
Awesome. That's what's up, dude. That's what's up. So we'll probably get back into Pokemon, of course. But the other topic, of course, is a little bit about masculinity. So one of the big questions we ask is, in your opinion, I like to put quotes around this one, but in your opinion, what's a man, quote unquote, supposed to be?
So do you mean my like definition, or do you mean like what societal's definition
so,
yeah, is?
So what you have come to like land on, based on, you know, how society's influenced you, or based on your own personal experiences, what have you landed on?
Okay. So I feel like true masculinity is being solid while also being soft at the same time. So by that I mean, you know, you can be a pillar of support when needed, but you also have that gentle side. I think that's the best way I've heard someone explain it. Because a lot of, you know, societals, like, men can't show emotions, they can't do, you know, they can't cry is a big thing. They can't have moments of weakness. They have to always be these strong, like, silent, stoic pillars. And another big thing is they always have to provide. That's their primary, like, that's their worth, basically, to society. Is a man is supposed to provide, and he can't show emotions, he can't show weakness ever. He has to always provide. I think they're, or I try to be a mid ground between that, where I can be that man that society expects me to be, but I also feel like I can show weakness and show empathy to people who need it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you're talking about balance, and I think that it's super wise. Like, how can someone, like, I think the societal, like, kind of definition, and what's expected of men is, let's say, a little rigid. Like, yes. It does not necessarily point in the direction of balance. It's like provide, period. When yep. In reality, for humans, which every man is, like, it's provide, but, like, you should rest. Provide, but honor your emotions. Like, provide, but if, you know, you just lost your mom, yeah, dude, like, it's okay to take some time off. Like, you're not just what you can produce. You are a full human being with a lot of definition. Like, there's more to the story than just provide. There's more to the story than just get it done, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. You're not just a cog in a machine.
You're not just a cog in a machine. And a lot of guys try to operate that way. And that's, like, seen as manly to, like, it's a mistake to believe, like, you know, don't cry. Like, a lot of times that is also, like, and don't show that what I hear is, don't show that you are affected. Don't show that you can feel pain. And that's just, that's how, how yeah, can we live
it's
like
not
that?
Possible. It's not possible, and it's a huge detriment to your mental health.
Yeah, big time. Big time detriment to your mental health. So how do you think you, or rather, has there been any times in the past where maybe before you got that, you know, got to that, what I think is a really great healthy definition, were there any points in the past where you had a hard time living up to perhaps society's standard, or the standard that was being put on you, maybe by, you know, sometimes our male role models, like our first, you know, parents even, could be pushing that kind of masculinity on you. Do you have any times where you felt like, you know, it was pushed on you and you weren't living up to that standard before you kind of got to your own definition?
Yeah, actually. So when I was younger, I was a very timid person. And I feel like because of that, I felt like I couldn't be the strong stoic figure that, you know, society and media tries to portray a man as. So because of that, I decided that my route would be, you know, provide. So I would, no matter what, I would drop everything I was doing, even if it was more important than what this person asked me to do. I would always drop what I was doing to go help someone. I would over provide. Like, I would help too much, and I would kind of forget about myself. I felt like others were more important than myself.
Yeah.
Because of my timid nature, and feel like I was lacking in that aspect.
Definitely. Definitely. So you're saying that during that kind of, like, you kind of were kind of pushed into just doing that, like performing in that way, performing, you know, in a way that's over focused on the providing.
Yes, I feel like I pushed myself like that, but I feel like that was mainly due to societal's, like, expectations, and a little bit of my role models. Not my dad per se. My dad's amazing about that. He has the same viewpoint I do.
That's awesome.
And he helped me get to that. But a lot of the other male role models, in my life at that time were very much like, you have to be this strong, you know, stoic man. I felt like I couldn't live up to that. So it's like, well, the next best thing that a man is expected to do is provide. Got so it's it. Like, I overprovided and underselled myself.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's definitely a, that's the pitfall. Like, it's that trap of you only provide. And when you're only providing, it's like that is all going outside of you. But what about inside of you? And what about, you know, those, that nurturing that you may need, that rest you may need, that time off you may need, even like enjoying your wares, you know, to a lot of guys like really feel like I'm a man when I'm just giving all this shit away, you know, giving all that energy away, giving all that power away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what it was like for me. I was like staying up till 4 or 5 in the morning, like helping people do projects that I will never see and stuff like that. Like it was very bad. It was very bad. I was getting no sleep. I was sometimes skipping meals to like just help people with stuff because I felt like that's what I had to do.
Yeah. Dude, you know what I really appreciate you about you is how helpful you are, and I think it sounds like you kind of reached the balance with that. What do you think about that? You seem very helpful. Do you do that? I don't know. What's your relationship with helping people now that you've kind of gotten, you know, seen yourself in the past as kind of over-serving? How do you kind of reach the balance that you've reached?
So I feel like I've started, instead of just saying, okay, I need to help everyone here, it's more so like I'm going to pick and choose which person I want to help. So like, if you ask me for something, I'll probably drop what I'm doing unless it's more important to me. Like I've started doing like a pyramid basically of importance. So like an example would be like, if I have a paper due, but one of the guys in the Discord wants us to like help him team build, I'm probably going to look at the essay as more important. So I'm going to do that first, and I might, you know, take breaks here and there to help. So I think I don't know. It's a little hard to explain, but I think I've started figuring out how to put breaks in between my own personal, things that I'm doing, and within those breaks, helping others. So I still have that balance, and I still can decide to not spend my break doing that or not do it at that moment. But a big problem before was I would drop everything and go help. Now it's like, okay, you need help, and it's not urgent. I can take a little bit. I can do this other thing I'm doing. I can rest a little bit, and then I can go help you being rejuvenated instead of like, you know, trying to help you where I was at, or just like dead tired or something like that. And I think I also give better help and better advice if I do take that break, rather than just, okay, well, I'm going to help you because I feel like I need to.
Yeah. You've heard the kind of cup analogy, like you can't really serve others with a half filled cup or a not filled up cup, you know? And when you rest, you get to fill your cup back up, and you can, you know, serve others as much as you want, but like recognizing your limits of like, okay, I need to refill my cup.
Exactly. And I think also my personality naturally is I like helping other people. Mm-hmm. I like the joy it brings to them and to me. I think that just was like put into overdrive at that point. Yeah. And I think I've been able to reel it back to where it's at now, because I really do enjoy helping people. But, you know, I've found a way to not make it to a detriment.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. That's really great. I wanted to just backtrack a teeny bit. And you mentioned a really great relationship with your father, which I'm sure I have some listeners that might agree. Like, you know, that's not a, I don't want to say it's not a super common thing, but it's a place that we all experience a little bit of challenge, or at least many of us experience some challenge. And a lot of time for guys, like that challenge with your father kind of affects your development, you know, around masculinity, around manhood and growth and such. And I was just curious, you know, maybe tell us a bit more about your relationship with your father and how you kind of, you know, he helps you kind of craft such a balanced, healthy, you know, idea of masculinity.
Yeah. So I will not, you know, I will not look past the fact that I'm very fortunate to have a dad that I do. But he would, when I was younger and timid, you know, dad's like, oh, my kids, you know, he's timid and stuff. I'm going to force him to do this really embarrassing stuff to try and get him out of his shell. And, you know, most dads would just keep doing that, but he noticed that wasn't working.
Yeah.
So he switched to other methods, very like small little things. Like, you know, I would, like, if someone walked in front of me in the hallway, I would just start sweating. Like, it was really, really bad. So instead of doing just like jumping into big things, he started small, like, okay, can you know, go grab this, like, let's say we're like out eating, he's like, go grab some sauce over there, and slowly ramped it up to where I am now. Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, he would just, like, when we're doing things together, he would just drop like life lessons on stuff like that. He was like, you know, you don't, being a man is not just being a pillar.
Yeah.
Like being a man like that, your children will suffer from it and you'll suffer from it. Mm-hmm. Basically everyone around you will suffer from it, because being that stone cold pillar, you're not showing emotions. You're not giving any emotional feedback to others. Yeah. And as humans, we're very emotional creatures. So kind of blocking that off is detrimental to everyone around you.
Yeah.
So what was the analogy he used? He said a man should be like a coconut, if that makes sense.
So
like a hard outer shell, but on the inside, you know, you're soft and you have like you're soft and like emotional, and finding that balance between it.
Yeah.
You don't want to just be a rock.
Totally. And it's hard if you're just like a bunch of like flowy mushiness too, you know?
Exactly.
life is hard in that way also.
Exactly. So you have to find that proper balance.
It sounds like he communicated well with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Him and also the friends that I made in high school. A lot of them helped me with that development, and mainly getting me out of my shell and out of that timidness to where I'm at now.
And do you think he shared emotions with you guys well?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He would not hide his emotions.
Yeah. Even if he was like sad, have you ever seen your dad sad?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've had pets pass away, and he, instead of, you know, just being a stoic, like, you know, stoic wall, he would cry with us.
Yeah.
He would show those emotions.
That's beautiful. I'm happy you had that, man. I'm really happy you had that.
I wish more people did.
Yeah. Hey, it's you know, a lot of the work I do is kind of like, you know, I think about him like, this is creating, you know, people that I think would be really solid, like good dads in the future. You know, I hope to influence guys in that way too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
We talked a little bit about your mental health journey. I was hoping you'd share a little bit about that with the listeners. The question I usually ask is, you know, what's a recent mental or emotional health struggle that you've had to overcome or are currently working through? And maybe it's not recent, but something from your past even.
So one that I still like kind of struggle with now, just because of how meaningful it was I had a friend that I had basically grown up with. Like, I had known him since we were 3 years old. And I looked up to him. He was a very, you know, extroverted person, very outgoing. And I never really noticed it, but he would use me as like a punching bag, basically, for jokes and stuff like that. And it got to the point where I needed basically another person to come into the friend group who was not like similarly extroverted, but not, you know, narcissistic like he was.
Yeah.
To basically tell me, yeah, he's just keeping you around as like a laugh. You need to try and break off from him. And it was really hard because when you're in that situation where you're like super timid and dependent on others to like kind of be your voice.
Yeah.
It's really hard to try and break out of that and break that off. But it was a slow and painful process of basically just shutting down everything that he wanted to do, like use me for and stuff like that, to the point where he just basically stopped talking to me.
Yeah.
And there's, I forget what it's called, but like when you're in a toxic relationship or friendship like that, and you try to go back to the person because you think they can change.
Yeah.
I did do that. I tried to, you know, be like, hey, you know, we kind of left off on bad terms, you know, maybe we can fix it. And he just never wanted to talk after that. And it hurt because, you know, I've known him for my entire life and stuff like that. But overall, it was better because I'm in a way better spot than I was then. But I do still, you know, feel like I could have handled it better, or I could have, you know, ended it off better, even though in the front of my mind, I know that that's not the case. I know I could not have done anything differently because it was ultimately his decision. But the back of my head, I still think about it. But that's like, that's the big one.
Yeah. For me. That's huge, man. I thank you for sharing that. And the first time I've heard a story like this on the podcast where you've had to kind of end a relationship, and like also most people are thinking about the pain of ending a romantic relationship, but it's like, yo, if you have to end a friendship because of like especially something like this, where you feel like your boundaries are being crossed or taken advantage of, or someone that just doesn't have your best interest in heart, and you there's a lot of things at play here, right? You're standing up for yourself. I think that's beautiful. Like you kind of standing up for the friendship too, like, hey, I thought our friendship was this and I would like it to be that, and it's not, you know. And it's,
yeah,
you kind of try to hold a person accountable and they like want to, you know, say peace out. That fucking hurts, you know, because it's like, damn, you just want to be my friend if it's like super advantageous for you. Like, that's not a friendship, you know.
Yeah, that's
and like getting to see that is difficult. And I definitely, you know, want to send you some props for, you know, kind of, I think, protecting your boundaries and like,
yeah,
protecting your heart even. Like, people like don't typically think about that. Guys definitely don't typically think about like doing that in a friendship. That's super important.
Yeah, and it's especially even harder since we had known each other since we were walking.
Yeah,
like barely able to even talk. We were like best friends in quotations. I think he changed and I didn't is what happened. I think he went down a path, or yeah, like down a dark road, and I didn't follow that.
Yeah,
but again, a lot of that came through or was due to the fact I had such strong support and such strong like other friendships and relationship with my parents, which I know I'm very blessed to have. I know not everyone has that, so it's a lot harder. But yeah, so I'm very fortunate with the friendships I have.
That's awesome, man. And I really, you know, appreciate you, the friendship that we've developed since Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Yeah, dude, just like random. It's just funny how just seeing friendship happen, it's like just randomly messaging each other here and there, to hanging out on the stream, to, oh, we're at a tournament together, to here, do this team, asshole, like, yeah, you know. it's cool to see that grow. And you know, I definitely feel for you, and having lost what sounds like your longest friendship, and you know, people continue to grow and change, and maybe this isn't the full end of the story, and maybe it is, but I, you know, definitely want to say, you know, congrats. And there's a level of courage it takes to
to stand for yourself like that. And there, you know, sometimes if people got to go, they got to go. But, you know, knowing that you could stand for yourself in the face of that, you could probably stand for yourself in the face of anything, man.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome, dude. Well, why don't we do a quick little battle? I don't typically leave the audio on the battle or on the podcast, but I'm thinking about doing that in the future. So we'll just let the audio roll and just run the game like we would.
Okay, sounds good.
Cooked. Great team.
Thank you.
I need to check my record against the guest. I'm pretty sure that it's negative record. But we gonna fight back, baby. We gonna fight back.
You gotta stop picking such strong guests.
Yeah, I definitely got some strong guests. All right. So, as we wrap things up, I wanted to ask you two questions to hit both sides. One, what is something that you are excited about in Pokemon news? And then what is one thing you might say out there to a guy who may be struggling and in need of some support?
So Pokemon news, I mean, you gotta be excited for the DLC, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Especially as a competitive battler, you hear all this news of like the 19th type and stuff like that for the Terra type. You got like upper hand, all that stuff. I'm excited to see what they bring back, and I'm excited to see if they add new Pokemon home, because I'll be honest, and I feel like it's a vocal minority right now, but I think the current meta is kind of stale.
Mm-hmm.
You like, if you really look at the top like 16 teams, top 8 teams, it's very much the same like 12 Pokemon being brought.
Yeah.
It's we need something. We need like some kind of change to add a splash in the pan.
Cool.
And then for a guy struggling, it's whatever you're going through will pass. So don't focus too much on it. And like, don't be afraid to reach out to any pillars you have.
Mm.
I know it's hard to do that. That's probably the hardest thing to do, I would say. And it was a hard thing for me to do as well, is to reach out to those people. Even if you think they don't care, they do care.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they don't act like they, like your dad, like let's say your dad is the stone cold pillar type. If you reach out to him in the moment, he might not be acting like he cares, but he definitely does, and he's definitely hearing you. And I mean, if you don't have that pillar of support, it's hard. It's really hard, but you can reach out to me. You can reach out. I'm sure you'd be fine with it.
Absolutely.
Like, you can reach out to us, and I'm assuming almost anyone on this podcast, you can reach out to any of us and talk to us, and we will listen.
Absolutely. I think, you know, there it takes a lot of courage in the first place, which kind of circles back to a lot of what's that we've talked about a little bit. I think it takes some courage in the first place to let yourself be seen in the times where you may feel like you're weak, you know, to let the vulnerability happen. Like, that's a paradox, you know. It's like, oh no, I can't be seen as weak. But it's like, oh no, actually, that's super courageous to allow yourself to be seen that way. And it's also the only way that you can a lot of times get the support you need to keep going. So, brilliant message, Ivan.
Thank you.
Of course. Ivan, man, I just wanted to express my gratitude for you as a friend, as someone who's helping me learn this game and navigate this community, as someone who's helped the stream grow up to affiliate finally.
Let's go.
Just someone who's been such a great support, and I just want to show you some love, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. All right. Well, I'll talk to you probably later today, because I talk to you basically every day. All right, Ivan.
See ya.
And that is a wrap with my man, Ivan. And I'm really feeling inspired by this idea of what if a man could be open, and that's be open to experiences, be open to connection, just wherever you go in every single interaction. And that's something Ivan told me he does at every single regional that he attends, and he leaves with new friends every time, and I've adopted it, and it really does work. It's really made doing this podcast, the stream, and even playing the game just that much richer. So, guys, be open to experience, open to new things, open to new friendships. Last reminder about my 12-day challenge coming up December 13th. Again, really want to see you guys there. My goal is going to be probably $400 or $500, something along those lines, and of course 12 days. And if everyone who listens to this podcast just comes in, make a Twitch just to hop onto the stream and do a donation to Black Men's Heels, we will be really well on the way towards that goal. So thank you as always. I'll be back again next week. Talk soon.